to be able to take this with you today. Just a lesson that has been on my heart. We're going to get away from John this week and just kind of do a little standalone lesson that has just really been on my heart and want to share something I've done at times in the past. Kind of a couple different lessons in one today, but so a lesson on spiritual warfare. But before we do that, y'all are getting the handouts there. I really wanted you to have this handout as something you can take with you and use in spiritual warfare, and something that you can go back and look at some verses and just keep this with you, and you may help somebody else out. You may share it with them. I think it'll be a very helpful tool. All right, let's go to the next one. I've got a song that goes with the lesson today, and it's a brand new song. And I don't think we don't allow new songs around here except for the preachers. I think the preachers get to do whatever they want to do when it comes to singing. But that's what I'm going with today. So I'm gonna sing it through once, and then you jump in here with me. Y'all seem to do pretty good with that. And as long as I don't mess it up. This song means a lot to me. It does go with the lesson today. I think it'll be a song that you will come to really like and be a very powerful song for you. Okay, it goes like this. Burdens down, Lord, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down, burdens down, Lord, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down. See, on that last part, you got to really lay them down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's time to lay the burdens down. That's what we're doing in this song, okay? Let's try this again. Burdens down, Lord, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down, burdens down, Lord, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down, will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, in a better home awaiting, in the sky, up in the sky, we're gonna lay these burdens down. One day, Lord, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down, I'm gonna lay these burdens down. One day, Lord, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down, one by one they broke the circle, and one by one they went away. Now the family is parted. Will it be complete one day? We're gonna lay these burdens down. So hold on now, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down, burdens down. So hold on now, burdens down. When I lay my burdens down,
Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down. When I lay my burdens down, we're going to lay these burdens down. Hold on now. Burdens down. When I lay my burdens down.
And the church said, amen. Amen. I really just want to talk to y'all this morning. I try not to preach at you. I really just want to have a talk, a conversation. And if I start preaching, it's probably just because I can't help it. It just comes out. But I really just want to talk to you just like if it was just you and me sitting down over a cup of coffee and just talk about the reality that there is an enemy and there is a devil and he is on the attack. And we are in a spiritual war. Whether that's our nation, whether that's the church, whether that's our individual lives, our families, our marriages, our parenting, whatever it may be, on your job. The Bible has a lot to say about that we are in a spiritual war, and there are spiritual forces that are against you and me. And here's a couple verses here we'll just look at this morning. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Probably one of the best passages to show the importance of staying sober, right? I'm not going to get on some kick and condemning all use of alcohol or that kind of thing, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what you know and what I know. That when spiritual warfare comes and the devil attacks, you want to have a sober mind. Because you need to be able to be in prayer. You need to have clear thoughts. And you don't want anything altering that or using anything as a crutch. Anything as a band-aid or self-medicating. You want to be sober-minded when you're in warfare. Let's go to the next slide. But that one just shows that we have an enemy. He's like a lion, and the language, He's not just trying to rough us up a little bit. He's trying to devour us, trying to destroy us. Luke 22:31, this is when Jesus talked to Simon Peter. And some translations are in some of the other Gospels. I think if you look at it closely, I think he really addressed this to all of them, not just Peter. But let's take Peter for the moment. To show that we have an enemy and there's spiritual forces at be. And the Lord said to Simon, 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 indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And so you might be wondering what's going on and why this is happening to me. This is really similar to the story of Job. And Jesus tells him, he says, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And we know Peter was about to go through something. Some major spiritual warfare. But I love this part. Jesus says, but I've prayed for you. That your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And we can really debate whether or not Peter's faith failed or not. Because you may say, well, that prayer wasn't answered because it looked like his faith failed temporarily. And I think you would be right. Or it could be that Jesus is looking at it a different way. But nevertheless, isn't it good news that not only had Jesus prayed for him, but he did return, and God put him to use. Used him. We made that point here several weeks ago, that really, God used Peter in the biggest way imaginable on Pentecost, those 3,000 people being baptized into Christ, and he had just come off of his worst mistake. That's what that's talking about. Let's go on to the next slide. So we're in spiritual warfare. This is a very familiar one, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not war against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so let us not be surprised about why things are coming at us, whether it's individually or whether it's in the church. Some of the things that we're going, we are in a spiritual war. Make no mistake. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is also just to show that there is a spiritual force, an enemy that is coming against you and me. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So you just see how powerful he is and how easy it is for us to become blinded. And why we're blinded is because there is a war. There's a spiritual war. There's forces that you and I cannot see, but they are very active and they're very powerful. And the goal is to destroy you and me. Next slide. Here's some good news. This is going to, I think, become one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture right here. When you see the significance of what he's talking about here. The weapons of our warfare. In fact, the verse before it says, even though we're in the flesh, we do not wage war as those who are in the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this earth. They're not worldly. They're not of the flesh. The weapons that we use as children of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to talk to you about strongholds a little bit. Let's look at Judges chapter 6 and verse 1 through 6. The people of Israel, and if you know anything about the book of Judges, it was kind of like a Scooby-Doo cartoon, you know, where, you know, they everything goes wrong and they've got to solve this problem, you know, and they finally unmask the problem and everything's back good again. And by the next episode, it's the same thing all over again. It's the exact same thing every week. Well, that's Judges, right? God sends them a deliverer. They do good for a little while. That deliverer dies and they go their own way, right? Until they cry out to the Lord and God sends them another deliverer. Judges 6, 1 through 6. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves, listen to this, their enemy had overpowered them to the point they were so defeated, they were so distraught, that they made for themselves dens that are in the mountains and in the caves and in the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, their enemies would come against them. Their enemies would devour the produce of the land. They would leave nothing in Israel. The enemy would come like locusts in number and lay waste to the land. And Israel was brought very low. Has anybody ever felt like you've been brought so low because of the trials, because of the attacks, because of the spiritual warfare that is coming against you? And it says, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. Praise God. Right? Paul said, when we are weak, then we are strong. We may be saying that, just please take all this away. Everything would be fine if just you would just remove this from our lives. And we're on our knees talking to God about that. And Jesus says, no, you're right where you've needed to be all along. You're leaning on me. and my grace will be enough for you. And if that's where it brings us, to leaning on the Lord, then so be it. We are right where we need to be. They cried out to the Lord about strongholds. The true enemy had tempted Israel to sin against God, and now as a result of their sin, Israel had gone into hiding. You ever had problems so bad you just wanted to hide from the world? It says their enemies were coming against them, so they created strongholds for themselves. And here's the thing about it. Here's what a stronghold is. They created it for their protection, but the stronghold became their prison. They couldn't be who God called them to be anymore because they found a way of self-medicating. They found their way of slapping their own Band-Aid on the situation. And all that they really did is create a stronghold. It created a prison. And this is how serious strongholds are. You're going to see in today's lesson, yeah, sin's bad enough, but a stronghold is when you can't get out of that sin even when you know you need to. You've lost your way. It's like the passage said where it's blinded us from seeing the glory of the gospel in Jesus Christ, the God of this age. It's a spiritual warfare. And a stronghold is a very serious place to be. In Judges 6, 11 through 13, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, who was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord said to him," you want some good news this morning? I'm about to give you some good news. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God speaks to Gideon while he's in hiding. Right? While he's in his stronghold, hiding. Doesn't even have a clue of how serious his situation is, that his life has been reduced to this stronghold. And the Lord says, "It's time to go, mighty warrior. It's time to go." Right? And Gideon said to him, now I want you to listen to Gideon's response, because what you're going to see from Gideon is going to sound like anything but a mighty warrior. All right? And this is what we have to see this morning about strongholds. Gideon said to him, "Please, Lord, please. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" And just see if you can relate with this attitude and this stronghold. "And where are all God's wonderful deeds that our fathers told us about how he delivered us once upon a time in Egypt? But now," Gideon says, "all I know is that the Lord has forsaken us, and he's given us into the hands of our enemies." But the main thing I want you to see from this little chunk of passage, if you go to the next slide, is that the way God deals with Gideon. God calls us not who we are in our struggle, in our stronghold, but who we will become. That's how God deals with you and I. Praise God. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Satan's stronghold, on the other hand, on Gideon. Here's Gideon. "If you're with us, why has all this happened? Where are all your wonderful deeds about how the Lord delivers? The Lord has forsaken us." And just in case you didn't know, God, the enemy's winning right now. And we get into these strongholds. Let's go to the next slide. But in Judges 6, 14 through 16, we see the continuation. "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours.'" It wasn't Gideon's might. It was the Lord's might. Just to prove that, he says, "And save Israel from the hand of Midian. Am I not sending you?" Am I not sending you? That's the key. Gideon is still not out of his stronghold. okay? Just to show you how deep his stronghold is. I want you to hear his heart and his words. Gideon, please, Lord, how can I do this? Look at me. Look at what he says. My clan is the weakest in our tribe, and I'm the most insignificant person in my family. But the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you shall strike the enemy as one man. Satan's stronghold on Gideon is Gideon saying, you can't possibly be calling me to do anything in this moment unless you don't know my family is the weakest family in this county. And I'm the weakest member of that family. Right? You can't get any lower of an appeal of trying to get out of something than what Gideon is saying to God. This is the ultimate try to get out of something. Right? I got the weakest family and the weakest tribe, and I'm the weakest one of them all. That means I am the worst, the biggest loser in the whole region. You don't think we don't do this? Look at these things that we say. Why did I have to be born into this family? If I would have had the advantages of others, or I'll never be able to do this because the things that are stacked against me, I'm not strong enough. But in Judges 6, 17 through 26, we see a change. Gideon asks for a sign. He has a conversation with God. I'm going to call this part prayer. He talks to God. That's really the first place we should go in our trials in spiritual warfare. Remember, that's why we need to be sober-minded. We need to pray. As a church, as families, as individuals, we need to be sober-minded and we need to be praying. And he talks to God and he asks God to give him a sign, and God reveals himself to Gideon through an angel, and Gideon has this encounter with God. God reveals himself to Gideon, and Gideon says, oh Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And his reaction is like everybody else in the Old Testament that sees God. They think they're going to die because they've seen the glory of the Lord and how awesome he is. Although that may be our first reaction, same would be true for you and I, it's never God's response. It's never the truth about who he really is. It's just we've never seen anything like it. And so God always has to reassure people because he's so awesome that they think they're going to die. He has to always tell them, peace to you. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. That's what God is saying to you and I in our strongholds this morning. And so what does Gideon do? When you meet God and you realize how awesome he is, and he's got this power to destroy, but instead he's a loving God and he deals with you gently. He deals with you with peace. Peace be with you. The thing you're needing the most in your stronghold, in me and my strongholds, which I have plenty of and that I'm crying out for, is the same thing as you. I need the peace of God. And I don't have it. But that's who God is. That's who he is. That's what he's bringing. You have to know the character of God. You can't misunderstand what kind of God this is. He's bringing peace. And so, what's Gideon's reaction to this God who treats him in this way? The same thing we're doing here this morning. You worship him. When you realize and know a God like that, the most natural thing in the world is to give him your worship. That's why coming to church is not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. It's something you want to do, right? It's a volunteer army. God doesn't make us do anything. Jesus himself did not have to die for us. He did it because he loves you. The Bible says he did it because he wanted to do it. He said, no one takes my life from me. Too many people use the cross as a guilt trip. Nobody made Jesus do that. Your sins didn't put him on that cross. His love did. Because he loves you. Because he saw you in your sins and he loved you enough to do it. We get this wrong too often. And this is not something you can get wrong. This is what's incredible. When he gives God the worship that he is worthy of because of how good he is, you know where he sets up the place of worship? On the very stronghold. Remember, Peter, I prayed for you. And when you've turned, strengthen your brethren. When you come out of this stronghold, you're going to worship. And you're going to do it right on the very stronghold by using that for the glory of God. It's like in the story of Joseph. What the devil meant for evil, God is going to use it for good. Romans 8:28, every single time. It doesn't matter what it is or what you've gone through. God can work it for the good. The key is to listening to the voice of God. We've got this enemy that's telling us these things and telling us these lies. But the key is to listen to the right voice. You're a mighty warrior. Go forward from now on in this new might. I will be with you. Peace to you. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die. Gideon came to see the Lord, worshipped on the very stronghold. He overcame the lies of the enemy. He overcame the lies of Satan. Satan is a liar. He's a liar, but don't believe a word he says. He's a deceiver. Next slide. But beware of deception. Because deception is all around. He's an accuser. Don't listen to him. He's a murderer. Don't ever give up. He's a destroyer. God is a deliverer. On the bulletin today, I wrote three things on the back for you that you can take with you. Three reasons never to give up. Number one, you are worth dying for. He didn't have to do it, but he did it because he loves you. Number two, don't give up because God has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. He has a hope. He has a future. Jeremiah 29:11 and following. And three, others need you. They need to hear your testimony of the stronghold that God has brought you out of. Because it may just be you to reach that one person that nobody else can reach. Because only you have been brought out of a stronghold like that. So don't give up. You're worth dying for. God's got a future for you. Good plans. And there's others who still need you. It's not time to go home yet. It may be tough. It may be rough. It may seem unbearable. But it's not time yet. The time will come and it will be better by far. But the scripture says, Paul there in Philippians 1:21, as long as I'm here in this body, it's for your benefit. You being here is for my benefit and others' benefit. To build one another up, to encourage one another. Don't give up because others need you. How we overcome, Revelation 12:10-11 says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers, and that's what the devil is, he's a liar and he's an accuser. He's the finger pointer. He's the condemner. Don't listen to him. He's not worth listening to. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He's done. And the only reason he's doing the damage to us right now, goes on to say, because his time is short. His time is short. But his time is coming to an end. He's the one who accuses them day and night before our God. But look at Revelation 12:11. How do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That means we overcome the lies of the devil by grace. Period. We overcome the lies of the devil in strongholds by grace and by your confession. We don't talk about confession enough, you know, because we're upset that the Baptists stopped with that at Romans 10, 9, and 10 and don't mention baptism, so we don't ever talk about it. But it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. A baptism just happens once. But that confession is something we're supposed to hold on to every single day. And that's how you overcome the devil, is with that confession. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We ought to speak it loud and clear. Jesus is Lord. And I don't care how powerful the spiritual force is, he is not more powerful than God. He is not more powerful than the Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's the confession. That's the word of our testimony that was getting people killed in the book of Revelation. And he says they did it even at the cost of their lives. They held on to that confession and did not even consider their own life. That's how important the blood and your testimony that Jesus is Lord is. I want to show you real quick just something I got along the way. I didn't show up there like I thought it was going to, but it's on your paper. That must have been like a formatting thing, switching over. But anyway, I got this from Joe Bromfield when I was at Harding University, and he's in the counseling department there. And it's called Overcoming Satan's Lies. This person, this stick figure, he's holding a Band-Aid and a bottle of pills. That's how, you know, he's self-medicating. But here's what I also want to show you about how this works. It's called Blows, Beliefs, Burdens, Bondage, and Behavior. We're talking about strongholds. Somebody can go through a divorce, a betrayal, abandonment, a loss, a tragedy, change, my own sin, abuse, unfaithfulness. And what it leads to is beliefs. And here's how the devil works. This is what these arrows are on top of the stick figure's head. The mind is the battlefield, so he attacks your mind, he attacks your heart. And usually the devil doesn't play fair, so he'll attack you in the same situation, okay? Maybe somebody's father left them when they were a child. And then later on they got their first boyfriend. And then he left them too, without a reason. Just said, I'm dumping you, moving on. And so now this person has had two blows in the exact same area. And what happens to us is we start developing beliefs because of these things. We start developing beliefs like I'm unloved, I'm unwanted, I'm afraid. Nothing will ever change for me. This is all I'm ever going to have. Right? Remember Gideon? Remember Gideon? Couldn't possibly be me. This is all I've ever known is weak, 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 weak. This is all I get. This is all I deserve. This is the way it's going to be for me. We start to believe things like nobody values me. Nobody cares, right? I'm not protected. There's no security. I'm alone. I won't ever be able to trust anyone again. How about this one? I can't be forgiven. And we start developing these beliefs, and those things lead to burdens and to strongholds, into bondage. You know, where there is just guilt, this heavy thing that we carry everywhere we go. Depression, loneliness, heaviness, weary. Just weary. From carrying so much. And these things, just the vicious cycle, we will go out to try to self-medicate by sinning. we believe sin is somehow going to give us the escape, to give us the relief that we're searching for to deal with the bondage that we've come in. And so we're really in a pickle now. We're in something that's actually even beyond the sin. It's a stronghold. And we're literally looking for love in all the wrong places. And it could manifest itself in a number of different sins. But here's the message we have to leave with this morning. When we're doing those things, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get the things that we were created for in all the wrong ways through performance. You know, we'll use information as power just so somebody will listen to us. We'll gossip and we'll slander just because information we've learned, if I can share something to make you listen, you got this, you know, false idea that somehow you're going to be my friend or something because I've got good information all the time. And I'm really just sinning, right? Or rivalries. We'll posture ourselves and we'll position ourselves and be prideful against one another. We kind of know what that's like coming out of 2020. Sexual immorality. We'll go do something that's so beautiful, created by God for such good and wonderful things, and we'll use it in all the wrong ways to try to escape, to try to get some relief, to try to get some love, to try to get some value, to feel wanted, to feel needed, to try to medicate these blows and these burdens that we carried. It could be spending, materialism, abuse, being controlling, overeating, being judgmental, condemning, anger, fits of rage, seeking negative attention. I mean, you've probably seen that, you know? Just somebody just wants to, they want any kind of attention. It's better than none. They don't realize the stronghold they're in. Let's go to the next slide. Galatians 5:19-20 says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, drug abuse, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Go ahead and go to the next verse. That's why they're a trap and they're so dangerous. This is the enemy trying to destroy us. He's lying to us to keep us in these things so he can destroy us. But here's 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. It points out a few sins, a few behaviors that we get ourselves into because of our bondage. But I want you to look and see what happens. Or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the good news. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. The truth is we've all acted out in these sinful behaviors, in our strongholds, not able to break out. But so had all these people. And guess what? They weren't in slavery to their sin anymore. They weren't in bondage anymore. They weren't in their stronghold anymore because they had been washed, they had been sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of our God. Next slide. We're all created to be loved, to belong, to be wanted, to be needed, to be valued, to be accepted, to be never alone. And God, your Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one that can give you that unconditionally. His love for you is not based upon performance. You know, like a boyfriend who tells his girlfriend that if you love me, you'll have sex with me. God's love is not based upon performance. He loves you because you are his. Period. When we come to know that kind of love, it'll change the way we raise our children. It'll change the way we teach others, reach others, encourage one another, be there for one another when we're down, when we've blown it, when we're stuck in things that we can't get out of, that we're not strong enough to get out of ourselves. It'll change everything. Let's go to the next slide. I just want to leave you guys with a few verses. Go ahead and go to the next one, Jake. I'll just speed up. We're a little behind time. I just want you to hear the voice of Jesus and how much he loves you as we finish off. Because this is the power to overcoming strongholds, is to know how much you're loved. That God knows exactly what you've been through, and he still loves you. You're fully known, and yet you're still fully loved. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's go to the next slide. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Next verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Look at this one. You got this one in your packet. Take this one home and memorize it. No, in all these things, we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present nor future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else can ever separate you and I from the love of God in Jesus Christ. There is no stronghold stronger than Jesus' love for you and me. Next slide. One thing I would recommend just in closing, this is where the mind, the battle is. Look at this next verse. Philippians 4:8. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to learn to think new things. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. This is really a message about what voice are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the lies of the enemy that has been doing this forever and is an expert of getting us to a stronghold and keeping us there with no way out? Or are you going to listen to the voice of the gentle shepherd who says, my sheep know my voice? Yeah, you have to learn to distinguish between voices. That's part of spiritual warfare. He's attacking us in our mind. But the good shepherd is also telling you softly, you're mine. I'm yours. Come on home. That's the message this morning. If you need to become and be washed, sanctified, and justified so that you can also be one of those that such were some of you. We talked about today that one of the most important things is to be sober-minded so we can pray. If you need to come forward and let's pray together. Anybody want to break out of a stronghold today? Anybody want to worship by the end of this day on the very stronghold that kept you up right up till this morning? Why wait another day? Why stay in that stronghold one more day? You know, we went and visited some friends the other night, and we just needed some prayer. And we talked to some friends, members of the church here, and just pray for us. I can relate with Gideon. I can relate with Gideon. You know, I didn't ask for this job. I never looked for this job. You know, it's like a football game, right? Went and watched Poto Friday night, sit out there and watch that game. And it's like that guy sitting on the sideline there, and things go wrong out there, and water goes down, and coach comes and taps you on the shoulder. You're up. That's what happened to me. And all of a sudden, what happened what I saw realized happened is a spiritual war like I'd never seen before. I called Don Cherry the other night. We had a great talk. And so I was telling him, I was like, I really have a lot of respect for what you did in this role, because the moment I stepped into that role, I became under attack like I've never been before in my life. And I know what it's like Gideon, to say, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. This can't possibly be me. But God doesn't call you what you are. He calls you to what you're going to become. And it's the same thing as a church. We're sitting here wounded and broken because we all love Don. We miss him, and I do too. They told us when we met with a consultant here a while back, for every year that a preacher's been there, it takes that much for a church to heal once they've left. That's 13 months of healing. We're not going to get over this anytime soon. But we can do it together, and we can know that we need to heal. We can admit that we've been hurt. We can admit that things did not go well for the Poto Church of Christ through 2020 and into 2021. A lot of things could have been done differently. Wish they would have. But you know what the real answer to all of this is, what we've been talking to this morning? Forgiveness and love. The scripture says that love covers over a multitude of sins. It doesn't. You can find somebody all day long to point the finger at. Maybe you want to point the finger at the elders. You want to point the finger at Don. You want to point the finger at the former president, or who's in there now. Or we can, you know, the maskers or the no maskers, or the vaccines or the no vaccine. You can point fingers all day long, and you know what? The devil will keep winning. Or we can all have some of this scandalous forgiveness that we see on the cross, of just start pouring out forgiveness to a bunch of people that don't even deserve it. That's Jesus. Love covers over a multitude of sins. That's the answer for the Poto Church of Christ. I'm just your temporary minister. I might not even be here in a year. But I'm going to tell you right now, if this church wants to heal and go forward, you better focus on forgiveness and love. It's the only way. If the invitation is for you, please come while we stand, while we sing.
Jesus, let us